The ABCs? Anorexia, bulimia, and cutting, Kiki laughed. And maybe the P's. The P's? You've lost me. Pimples, periods, and popularity. Kiki was cracking herself up. And definitely the S's. I rolled my eyes. But it was clear Kiki was going to wait until I started guessing. Stress? I finally offered. That's one. Substance abuse, I said. That's two, and come on, Soph, what's the most important? I looked to make sure no one we knew was around. No boys, no parents, no teachers. Sex? Sex, Kiki repeated loudly. And sexually transmitted diseases. Ugh, I hope she spares us. I hear enough about infection protection at home. Kiki knows my dad is a gynecologist, who sometimes offers random talks about STDs or unintended pregnancies. Kiki and I passed Woman Rink and watched a wobbly girl on ice skates clutch her mother's hand. Dear Kate has a daughter, Kiki said. Can you imagine being the daughter of a teen advice columnist? No. She'll be talking to the parents, too. The daughter? The mother! Kiki looked at me exasperated. We should get my mom and your dad to go. 3 years earlier, Kiki's dad had moved out, and lately Kiki had been hinting about setting up our parents. Or at least tell me if he's going so I can tell my mom to get dressed up and save him a seat. She laughed. Shut up. Your mom would kill you. Or thank me. He is an eligible bachelor, Soph. Free gyno appointments for life. Kiki, stop, I said. And she backed down. I didn't like to think of my dad as eligible. I was still getting used to widower. And while I'd noticed a few women flirt with dad, including Kiki's mother, Lan, whenever we went to her restaurant, Saigon Sun, I'd never seen him flirt back. Mom used to call dad guapo, handsome. But now he was 50, and I figured he'd shut down that part of himself, which was fine by me. I couldn't handle it if he started dating. What do you want to buy? I asked, changing the subject. We were crossing Fifth Avenue, heading east. I'm desperate for new jeans, Kiki answered. What do you need? Maybe a skirt for the dance with Regis? Or a sweater? I didn't say what I really needed, more than a new skirt or sweater, was to feel like my old self again. To feel like I could breathe. On Sunday, Dad wanted me to help him take down our tree. It was a miracle we'd managed to put one up, and I didn't see what the big hurry was to take it down. But Dad likes things neat, and Christmas is messy. I'd always loved Christmas, the decorations, school concerts, presents, parties. I loved how, right after Thanksgiving, Canadian lumberjacks drove into New York City with trucks full of evergreens and set up miniature forests on the sidewalks. Mom, Dad, and I had our own ritual. In early December, we'd pick out a tree on Broadway and lug it home to 93rd Street. Dad would stand it up in its base, Mom would water it with ginger ale, and I'd hang the first ornament. We'd trim the tree together as we listened to carols, everything from Deck the Halls to Feliz Navidad. Pepper, our black cat, would race around, batting at the low-hanging mouse-size ornaments. That was our family tradition. I thought it would last forever. But Mom died on April 7th, and I died a little that day too. The first months without Mom were a blur. I still caught glimpses of her everywhere, chopping onions, folding laundry, disappearing into the subway. I couldn't believe Mom was dead. And spring came anyway. At school, most people were extra nice to me, but others kept their distance. As if a death in the family made conversation too awkward, or might be contagious. I spent most of that summer before eighth grade with Abuelo, Mom's father in Spain. He and I took dozens of walks in the hills outside Segovia. Some mornings, we'd get pastries by the Roman aqueduct, and he'd point out pairs of storks nesting on towers, or we'd pass the Alcazar, which looked like a castle in a fairy tale. On hot afternoons, my grandfather took a nap and I sometimes ducked into the cool Gothic cathedral and tried to picture Mom there as a schoolgirl in the choir.